Okay, today's conference call's title is Setting the New Year Upright. So good afternoon, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. I remember starting with APS, now Member Solutions, almost a year and a half ago. I'm happy that things have been going so well, and I wanted to thank everyone for the positive emails, different testimonials, and compliments that I get on a regular basis. I'm happy that everyone's getting results from what I'm able to share with everyone. Normally, everyone starts setting goals in January. I usually set goals daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly. It's kind of unique. Before we started this conference call, Joanne and I had discussed how quickly the years seem to be going by as we get a little older. And now she's a very young lady, but as we move on in age, it seems like the minutes quickly turn into hours, and hours turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and so on and so forth. All before you know it, you're celebrating the new year again. And that, to me, is just unbelievable. It just moves with the speed of light. My goal is to help the martial art industry as a whole, and I want it to grow to a level of professionalism that's unimaginable. Now, think about it. We're a unique breed of people. To an outsider, a parent or a student, what they see is not easily understood. For example, you know, by nature, we're fighters, or in their eyes, we're fighters. When they think of the very essence of a black belt, it may invoke comments of, you know, wow, don't kick my butt, or if I had a dollar for every time I heard the expression, oh, I don't want to mess with you, you know, sometimes this comes from people twice my size, but it's the metaphor of the black belt, or the vision that people have for the actual black belt. It's perplexing to me, though, when a parent doesn't quite get what we do. I don't think that even though we're speaking the lessons, and sometimes to the parents, or and the parents are listening on the sidelines, I still don't think that they get the full grasp of what we do. And I don't think that they fully understand it, even if they do hear us say it. Nor do I think that they're sometimes truly listening to what we have to say. Even though that they may be nodding their head or agreeing with us, we may not get a person truly listening to us. So to start this conference call off, I want to applaud you guys. I want to fully applaud you guys for your efforts to teach the martial arts. The martial arts, to me, is a way for us to celebrate the uniqueness of each one of our students, to help them expand their ability to become better humans, to help one student at a time. I believe that it's a way for us to change the world and make it a better place each day, bringing individuals closer together, bridging the gap between racial harmony or racial problems, or helping us cure diseases and join together to help cure diseases and hunger. And we want to become the guiding force in the world that we want. There's a quote that I love that I kind of coined, or stolen a little bit from Gandhi and coined it myself, or stolen it myself, and it's, be the change in the world that you want. And you see, to me, it's martial arts is not just about kicking and punching. In fact, if I were doing martial arts, I may be if I wasn't doing and teaching martial arts, I'd be a motivational speaker or a humanitarian. And maybe I am just using the martial arts as a vehicle so that I could do those things. But I know all of you have a higher purpose in life, so I want you guys to give yourselves a really good pat on the back for all the great things that you do on a regular basis, all the people that you help, and the lives that you touch, and so on and so forth, because this is just an amazing lifestyle that we live. Now, if you're not doing these things that I mentioned, then now's the time to step up. You know, if you're not really going out there doing charitable causes, raising money for needy families, you know, helping students, and you're just teaching people to kick and punch, then now I want you to step up as in your role as a leader. So start to become the best leader you possibly can be. I recommend reading the book, and if everybody has a pen handy, I'm going to be giving things to take notes on throughout this meeting. So one book that I suggest to you is Develop the Leaders Around You. And I believe it's John Maxwell, but it's definitely Maxwell's the last name, and it's called Developing the Leaders Around You. So what is a productive year? Let's first ask ourselves these questions. I have four questions that we need for you to determine what a productive year is going to be. And let's write them down. The first question is, what is success? Although success could mean having the largest school in the world with the most square footage or the largest amount of students or even grossing the most money, you could still feel that you don't have any success. To you, success may be about being the best father or the best husband, or maybe giving a part of your soul to the community or to the church or whatever it is, to whatever your capability is. So what we need to determine is, number one, what is success to you? I want you to write that down, and then maybe after we're done with our conference call is actually determine what it is. You know, once you write that down and you truly believe in it, then you're one step closer to achieving it. So number one, what is success? Number two, what kind of martial arts school do you want? again, this is the hard part. You know, we all started our schools probably for the same reason, to teach martial arts. As John Graydon from Mata stated, there's usually a deeper meaning digging deep within our own hearts or our psyche or our psychological profile. It may be that we want to feel needed or to spread the word of what we believe or to be heard or to teach or to share. No matter what the reason is, it's really up to you. It doesn't matter. But you must clearly know why you do what you do and what you do. So now, number two, I want you to write down, what kind of martial arts school do you want? What is it going to be? Is it going to be a commercial operation? Are you going to have 500 students in the future? Are you interested in just helping a small, select portion of the community? Do you want to help children? Do you want to help the adults? Do you want to help either or all together, children, adults, and teenagers? This is something that you really need to determine. So what kind of martial arts school do you want? Number three, what is the goal for the future of you and your school? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years? Because this is about vision. We need to know that what we want to do, what we want to achieve, we have to set these little mini goals, and you want to set quarterly goals and yearly goals and then the 5-year goal and the 10-year goal and learn how to stick to these goals. So what is in the future for your school and what's in the future for you? And the fourth question is, what is the goal for your retirement? Where do you see yourself? At what age are you going to retire? What, when the time comes, what are you going to have? Where are you going to live? What is your house going to be like? Where is your money going to be? Where's your source of income going to be? What investments have you put in place? Or what investments would you like to put in place? But what is the goal for your retirement? You know, if you're not preparing properly or setting up the future or working by the day to set up the months, then the years will never come. But if you set up by the day, the years will eventually come and the future will take care of itself. So what does this have to do with the topic of the day? Well, to be honest with you, the four steps that I mentioned is really clarifying your goal as a martial art instructor. So many times are we kind of thrust into this vision of becoming a martial art teacher and then all of a sudden realizing later on that it's a job, it's hard work, we're dealing with employee issues, we're dealing with parent issues, we're dealing with student issues, and all of a sudden it becomes disheartening and demotivating to us, and we find ourselves in what we call the rut. And then we can't move forward. We can't really do what we want to do. And we kind of end up either not making a good living out of it, resenting it, burning out, and wanting to quit. So if we want to stay focused on our goals and become the best martial art teacher possible, if that's our goal, or to be have one of the most successful schools in your determination of success, you need to continually be clear, clarify what your projection is, what your goals are. So now, I continually talk about growth within my own organization. Now, just to be clear for those people who don't know me, I run 5 schools directly that I own fully. I don't have a partner in any of the schools. All my staff are technically employees. Some share in the commission structures, and to them, the sky is the limit in regards to financial gains and the lifestyle they live, because the more they put in, the more they get out. I have 13 full-time employees now. I've downsized quite tremendously in the last year and a half, and I have 9 part-time employees. So 22 people altogether that I have to deal with on a regular basis to motivate, to excite. I have to pay. I have to take care of. My expenses are astronomical, and I sometimes feel overwhelmed myself, and I ask myself, why did I build this machine when I could have maybe just stayed into a one school location and made a large amount of money? But I sometimes think about downsizing myself, but then I snap myself into reality, and I remind myself that there's a bigger picture for me, that I want to build this international kind of organization where I have thousands and thousands of students. So I kind of catch myself and put myself in check. But anyway, each day I learn through my schools and through my consulting what it takes to make a business run. Now I'm going to give you 10 things that I think are imperative to making a school successful. So if you guys could please write them down. I'll try to go slowly, but I'll also give you some of them. And then later on we'll go into them in a little bit more detail. But the 10 things I think are imperative to your school's success, or things that you need to have a successful school. Number one, building a foundation that is solid and a foundation that's expandable. In other words, we want to set ourselves up in a way that we know that we have growth potential, but at the same time we want to build our foundation so solid that we're not kind of picking up the pieces after we start to get the momentum going back and correcting continuously and recorrecting and fixing problems, because then you're going to be dealing on a regular basis with putting out these little mini fires, and then you're going to have kind of like an anarchy within your organization, especially when you grow. And I've found in my life now that as I grow my employees and they start to make more money and they become more powerful within my organization, it's not that my job always gets easier. Sometimes they become the proverbial thorn in my side and they actually create more work for me and more stress for me, nights where I don't sleep because people are looking for more money or they're not happy with their commission structures or they didn't get what they wanted at a specific time when they expected it and their vision and their view on what things should be. So number one is build your foundation that's solid and expandable. Number two, learn as much as you can about business as possible. Become a black belt in the art of business. Many of us are good fighters or good martial artists. You know, we know that end of the business, so we could defend ourselves or fight in the ring, or maybe we've won trophies and we become a tournament champion, but it doesn't give us the right to consider ourselves a teacher. The biggest thing that I always tell people in martial arts schools is, one, you need to learn how to teach. The most important thing about building a school is to have teachers in place that people like to be taught by. You know, if you think back when you were in high school or college, and if you look at all the teachers that you've come in contact with in your life, I would like you to ask yourself, how many of them really stand out as being someone who changed your life? Probably one, maybe two teachers, if that, in your life really made a difference. Well, as martial art instructors that keep students for maybe 1 to 5, 6, 10 years, we want to be that person that's been a motivational force, a change in their life. We want to make sure that we are that person, and sometimes we don't know how to be that person. We've never learned that. Our teachers have never taught us how to be the best teacher possible, how to be the most motivated teacher possible, how to get those results out of others. So we need to learn how to be a teacher, number one. And then the second thing is we need to learn how to become business people. We can't just expect our dojos to grow without knowing basic concepts and principles of business. We can't expect employees to respect us, employees to want to work for us. We can't expect parents to want to pay their bills on time if we're not professional. We can't expect our students to stick around if we don't have certain systems in place. We have to become a professional at what we do. We have to become black belt business people. Number three, we need to develop and learn as much as we can about statistics and keeping professional records. This is, again, the business end, but we also need to learn systems. It's not like just going and taking a business course in some BOCES or college program, because that's about general business. Now we need to learn about the specific things that are geared towards our schools, towards martial arts schools, towards the service industry. And we need to learn how to keep statistics and records that we can look back and follow trends and see where we've been and where we've come to or where we're going to. And we need to be able to look at those things. Number four, we want to learn what people think. We want to become masters of human nature, or at least great at and understanding human nature. We want to find out how and why people do what they do. We want to know why people are quitting our school. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't like our martial arts. It might be the person or the teacher that has given them, the last lesson. It could be somebody who just doesn't have the right attitude who's teaching your class, or maybe was rude to the class or said something that was derogatory towards women or towards children or whatever. So we need to make sure that we learn what people think and we actually teach that to our instructors or our staff or our helpers. And we want to learn it ourselves, because it's easy to point the finger outward, but it's hard to point the finger inward. So we may say, Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Jones, they just don't get me. They don't understand. They're disrespectful, when in essence, sometimes they have valid concerns or complaints. So learn how people think and what makes people think. Number five, build your company with the future in mind. Build your company with the future in mind. I know that people don't think this way until it's too late most of the time. If we look at all the people in the U.S. right now and across the world, how many people are really set up for a good retirement? I know people that are dear to me that have not set up a penny towards retirement plans, that they're going to probably work until they can't work no more and hopefully rely on the government to support them or family to support them. And this is terrible. So we need to build our business and set it up as if we were going to buy and sell businesses for a living. In other words, we want to set up our business so that someone would be interested in buying it, or that we could will it to a child or to one of our top black belts, or sell it to one of our top black belts or to an interested buyer. Not to say that we may not keep it in our family for generations if we can, but if we're building something on a regular basis, it has to have some sort of value. And that's why we build our business as if we were going to be able to sell the business. Number six, we want to decide on why you are doing what you're doing and the message you want to get to the students, parents, and the community. While doing this, find an avenue of communication to reach the people that you're in contact with on a regular basis, your students, your parents, the people in your school, your staff, and so on. So decide on why you're doing what you're doing. If you have a clear message of the reasons why you're in the business, then it'll be a lot easier for you to get those messages out to others. Number 7, put in place systems so that your business is like a turnkey operation. Michael Gerber talks about this all the time in his book, The E-Myth, which is the second book I'm going to recommend to you people today. I've recommended this a number of times before, but The E-Myth talks about setting your business kind of, I want to talk of it like in a fast food analogy, like one of the fast food restaurants where they know exactly how much ketchup to put on the burger and how the bun is supposed to sit and how much cheese, and they have systems for everything they do, for the way they ask their clients for upsells, you know, would you like another order of this or another order of that? You need to have systems in place from the minute you turn the lock key on your door to the night when you shut the lights off. You should write that all down. Matter of fact, I didn't write this down, but I'm going to add this to you as a homework for you. I suggest that you take a week and you log everything that you do in a diary, literally from the minute you wake up in the morning to the minute you go to bed at night, and you write a little section. Donald Trump tends to do this in some of his books. I'm reading right now, again, I've read it before, but I'm reading it again, which is called The Art of the Deal. And the book starts off with his day, according to Donald Trump, you know, from the morning when he wakes up till the time when he goes to bed, when he does meetings, who he talks to, how he deals with people, and you could see how much this man could get done in one single day. It's absolutely amazing. But we want to log everything that we do, so let's say, well, for some strange reason, we're out sick with some crazy new flu, and we didn't prepare anyone to really do what we do. We didn't have time to talk to them. We want to be able to say, here it is, just go and follow this plan. And you kind of turn it into an employee manual. So put systems in place so that your business is a turnkey operation. You want to determine the culture of your business and find a way to influence that culture. What do I mean by a culture? You want to know what your school is, what it's all about, how it ticks, how it runs, and who you market to. And once you learn that, you want to be able to find out what your niche is and how you fit that niche and how you're able to market to that niche and how you're able to break away from that if you don't want to just be in, let's say if you're a specialist in just children or you're a specialist in just teaching adults, maybe you want to teach everybody, teenagers and adults and children together. You need to find out what you need to do to make those changes so that you're appealing to other portions of our community. Now, number 8, become a master of your finances. Take a minimum of 10 hours per week and go over your finances. I would almost guess that probably 90% of the people on this call and in the world don't do that. The reason why the bankruptcy rates are so high in the U.S. is because we throw caution to the wind and we realize when it's far too late that we're in trouble. And we look, you know, the sad reality is that I'm shocked that a country as smart as ours would just bail people out and allow them to become bankrupt. I mean, what lesson is that? Is this going to teach people not to do it again, or is it just going to say, here's an out? This is why bankruptcy laws are changing, because they found people were abusing the system. But I still believe that it's kind of sad that if someone could put themselves in so much credit card debt, knowing that they don't have enough job money, income coming in, to pay off the money that they're spending, and then we allow them to go bankrupt, and this is a problem. So I'm shocked that this goes on. But if you don't have the money, you can't spend it. But we need to look at our finances on a regular basis. Just recently, I saved myself $7,000, and I'm not going to say on car insurance, although that's my next thing, but I saved myself $7,000 on phone bills in my 5 locations per year just by switching to Optimum Voice. Now, I found a really great special. I called them up, worked with it, and I went from the regular phone company, which is my company now, Verizon, and I switched over to Optimum Voice, saving myself $7,000. That is a large amount of money when you think about it, just to be wasted on a telephone. So if we look at our finances on a regular basis, we audit our credit card interest rates, we switch over to less expensive interest rates, we look at our phone bill, we look at our insurance bills, we look at our employee payments and money that's being wasted on flyers and things like that, and we review just a minimum of 10 hours a week where our retirement's going, where our money is going, we'll be able to be that much more better off and much more financially sound in the near future and also into the retirement stages. Number 9, look at your martial arts schools as if it were the start of an empire. Now, before I kind of complain, because, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming to me running 5 schools with all these employees, but I still do it. Now, You want to see what you want to do with your school. Do you want to have multiple locations? Do you want to have 1,200, 1,300, 1,500, 2,000 students? If that's the case, you need to look at it from the early stages. You need to look at it as if your company is in its infant stage, and then you're going to slowly grow through the years to the toddler stage, to the junior stage, to the teenage stage, to the adult stage. And where are you going to be when you get into the maturity of your business? And what is your business? What is the model? What is it going to look like in the future? And number 10, we want to put in place communication for our employees, for our staff, for our students, for the parents, where they can communicate with us on a regular basis, feeling comfortable letting us know their opinion. I am reading a book right now that I don't remember the name of right now, but I think it's called Company or People's Ideas. And it's a great book because it talks about how you could just poll and get people to give you their opinion, and some of these ideas make people billions of dollars. So if you're open towards ideas, this could be one of the best ways, by talking to parents, talking to students, finding out from old students why they quit, why they left. If you could get them to open up, that information is just unbelievably valuable to you. So as you put this communication gear in place, it could be an email, it could be website, it could be a posting section on your website, it could be a 1-800 number where they just leave messages, where they could do a questionnaire, where they could have an anonymous box where they give their opinion. Like, for instance, in my West Islip location, my biggest location, I have a really terrible parking lot. We have about spots for 16 cars. So there's always people double parking, parking on the curb, blocking other people in. You always hear the comment from my parents, when are you going to do something about this parking? As if I could manifest a new parking lot. I don't have room across the street or anywhere else, so we have to tolerate this. So the only way I could do this is to ask people to be patient and to work with me and to park in the designated spots and to carpool. But we want to get people's opinions. No one has given me an idea that could help us. They just give me complaints. So we want to open up an avenue, an area, a place where people could give their opinion, and that opinion would be taken in and utilized to make the school a better place. Sometimes employees, they don't say anything either, or staff members, they'll never tell you how they're truly feeling. And we need to get them to communicate with us, because the next million-dollar idea could be sitting on the tip of their tongue, and they might just hold it, and it might get lost or forgotten, and so on. So anyway, I've talked for almost a half an hour right straight, and I'm going to open up the floor just for a quick second, or anybody has any questions. And then, Joanne, if we could open that up, and I know I've been covering a lot of stuff, but does anyone have a question up to this point?
Kind of a way of making fun of something.
Anybody there?
Yeah,
questions?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, I'm here.
Yes, I have a question. This is Larry in Atlanta.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
All right. You know, the one that you talked about getting in touch with your finances.
Right.
I've really been through a stressful weekend just over that subject.
Okay.
And I had an accountant that I basically fired because he came out with the figure of $500 a month, and that just was unreasonable as far as I was concerned.
As far as his charges to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm in the process of researching to see what program to get to put on my computer. The answer I've come up with is QuickBooks. Would
okay.
that be your recommendation?
Well, I think most recently I did a weekly email on this very topic. Now, this may be something that could pertain to you or not, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I think your accountant is probably one of the most viable assets on a team of employees that you can have. In other words, we look at our accounting and our accountants as a liability. We pay them. Like you said, he wants to charge you $500 per month. It may be a little extreme. I'm not sure. That sounds a little high to me, because you're a one school operation. I actually pay about $1,200 a month to my accountant, and he runs all my corporations, and I have 12 corporations, real estate holding corporations, and so on. But he is my, like, lifeline. I call him up whenever I have a problem with finances. If I'm looking to get a loan, he handles all my paperwork. He puts my finances in place. He's the one who helps me with doing my personal financial statements and financial reports. When I call him and say, hey, listen, I want to give this guy a bonus, or I was thinking of buying a company car for somebody, or I want to put some money away, should I put it in this account or that account? What's your opinion? He tells me, and he's educated. So my opinion on this is definitely don't do it yourself. You're not an accountant. So don't try to save $500. Although, let me rephrase that. Don't try to save all the money yourself, but research other accountants and find a good accountant that deals with small businesses, that's educated, that will give you his undivided attention a la carte whenever you need him. You should be able to call him on his cell phone and say, listen, Joe, I need to get your opinion on this, this, and this. Is this the right thing? Because your accountant is a huge part of your team. He's probably one of the best amount of money that you'll ever spend as long as he's doing the right thing. He should be the guy who's reviewing your books and saying, Larry, you're not, you could be saving, 20% on your across the board on your credit cards if you negotiate a better interest rate. The problem is most of our accounts are nothing but glorified bean counters where they count on money and file our reports at the end of the year. They're not really financial accountants where they're handling our business. They're basically just, they went to school so they could come and make money off of us filing reports at the end of the year and filing paperwork with the government. But we need people who are educated to the point of, all tax laws and write-offs and liabilities and asset protection and so on. And sometimes these people that are out there, the good ones, are a little bit costly, but it's so well worth it to you. So I would, if I were you, my opinion is to maybe research a little more, go maybe make interviews if you were going to hire an employee and have a few accountants come in. And they could really help you. I bet you they'll save you money just by telling you maybe you should put your phone into the dojo, your cell phone, and pay it out of the dojo, or lease your next car through the business, or pay your phone bills, your gas bill through the business because you travel. And of course, within the reasons of legal issues. But anyway, does that answer your question?
Well, actually, you gave me some words that I'm going to use, the words for glorified bean counter. So, yeah, I'll go from there.
Yeah, you want to. I mean, QuickBooks is a great program, but are you going to have the time to really sit down and do your records and file your tax forms and do your sales tax and make sure that everything's on par? And then, God forbid, you do something wrong. The government will tear you apart, and they'll come in and seize money out of your account without even a blink of an eye. So you want to make sure that you have a guy who's really standing up and knowing the deal, because you just don't want to mess up in that category.
Well, my thought is actually learn how to do it,
yeah,
and then run the QuickBooks backup file by someone who can be a counsel.
Well, you know what? I think that that's not a bad thing, is to learn how to do it, but I think you'd probably be better off taking your time and learning how to market your school more, being a master of working with your staff, learning how to, motivate your student base and how to go out there and cross-market with other businesses, all the things that are going to grow your business, which you should be an expert at, before learning how to be an accountant.
Well, that was my original thought until I got the bill.
Yeah, I understand that. So now I say my suggestion is just don't think that that's the way everyone's going to charge. You may get a guy out there that'll charge you $200 a month or $150 a month, $1,800 a year to run and help you run your business.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anybody else?
Oh?
Yes.
Hi, this is Shailesh from Toronto, Canada.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good, sir. I wanted to get some information on what sort of marketing strategy should one take during the Christmas or the first week of first month of the year.
Okay, how about we do this? Rather than getting off topic, when I open up after my next segment that I'm going to do, we'll open that up, because some of it, I touch on that a little bit real quickly. And
okay,
then I'll open it up for you at the end. Just ask that question again, and I'll give you a whole bunch of great ideas.
Sure.
Is that fair?
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Any other questions?
Hey, this is Jason up in Boston. How are you?
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. We've talked before, and I've taken a lot of your advice, and things are heading in the right direction as we go
great
into 2006.
I'm honored. Thank you very much.
I'm just now in the position. My dojo has finally moved into its own commercial location.
Great.
And I'm in the process of hiring my very first staff member.
Beautiful.
And just as a leapfrog off your first person's comments,
mm-hmm,
one of the things that I'm doing, rather than hiring an accountant, I do have an accountant who does my personal taxes,
right,
and helps to help me sort through things of business.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm bringing on a payroll billing company.
Great.
And they're going to help me not only make sure I pay my employees correctly, but they're going to take out all the taxes and do my reporting for me.
Great. That's beautiful. Well, I think that that's awesome. I actually, my accountant does my payroll services.
Perfect.
But one warning to you is there's like three major payroll services in the U.S. right now. I would suggest for you to keep a huge close look at what they do every single week, because I had most recently the beginning or the end of last year, and now I didn't review it because I automatically thought that they were handling everything, and they didn't pay my payroll taxes for 3 months, like $30,000 worth of payroll taxes, until I got a notice from the IRS, and then I called them up and they're like, oops, I didn't hit that button. Now, of course, it was at the time it was one of my staff members' responsibility, and she wasn't looking that it was being debited from the account,
right.
And I just thought I had all this extra money because I wasn't really paying attention. So, of course, I put it towards other things, and then I realized, wow, that was a big slip-up. So make sure you stay on top of those payroll companies like they were your own employee.
Right, I certainly will. My biggest point was, since I actually still hold down my full-time job while I'm running my karate studio,
right.
The last thing I have time for is to be up in the middle of the night doing my own accounting.
Absolutely. I believe it. That's so true, and that's correct. And there's some really great things that I think that the payroll companies can help you with as well.
Yes.
They have IRAs, and they have Roth IRAs, and you could put it into retirement plans and so on. So there's a lot of them out there that really have some good business advice as well.
Perfect.
Just be careful. Keep an eye on them.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else out there? No? Okay, Joanne, let's go back to lecture mode, and I'm going to go over some other things. Okay. I have 10 tips that I'd like to give to you guys, if you could write these down, which I believe is necessary in running a professional, successful martial arts studio. Number one, I believe curriculum. Curriculum is the first thing, and I believe, like Melody Schumann always says, you need to be an inside-out school, the meaning that you have to be a school that is going to be from the core, from the inner workings of your school, starting mostly with your curriculum. You need to have an exciting curriculum that captures the student's attention. You need something that's going to be workable all the way up to the highest level of black belt that you intend to have. So, for instance, you cannot just have from beginner to black belt level. You need to have from beginner to 10th degree black belt level, because especially if you're in a school where it takes 2 or 3 years to become a black belt, you're going to have black belts within 3 years. And then what do? Most complaints I've ever heard from martial artists that have left their teacher, quit, and opened up schools on their own is that they didn't really have anything more to learn. They didn't have anything more to do. They became bored with the curriculum. In my school, we have from beginner level, which we call Mukyu, all the way on up to like a ninth dan, which is ninth degree black belt under my teacher in Japan. So my students, my highest ranking students I have are third degree black belts in my school, but we right now have an active training black belt count in my five schools of about 85 black belts. Active training black belts at 85, that's larger than most martial arts schools in the country with any students, and we have 85 training black belts, and I think within the next 4 years we'll probably have at least double or triple that amount. So, first one, curriculum. Number two is putting in retention tools. In other words, what is a retention tool? Here are a few of them. The first one is 2-4-6-8-10 week calls. This is something that I've coined and I've stolen, actually, the 2-4-6 week calls, but I've actually made it into a science. Now I bring it all the way out to 10 weeks, and I've spoken about it on other conference calls, so if you want to go into the archives, you could listen to them. And we have a script, and we have a system that's based on our 2-4-6-8-10 week calls. We also do We Miss You calls. We do perfect attendance awards. We have striping on our belts. We do regular promotions. We do a lot of advancement and recognition kind of events in our school. We have keep in touch cards. We have cards that are just that we're going to write on to someone and say, great sidekick on Tuesday. I can't wait to see you on Thursday of next week in class. We also have special events, seminars, parents' nights out, adult movie nights. When I say adult movie nights, I don't mean adult movies. I mean movie nights for adults like The Last Samurai. Or, just get-togethers where adults could watch the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, or whatever. But something that's geared towards adults, not children only. I mean, people would love to get together. Parents, adults would love to get together and hang out in your school. Maybe watch the UFC and then do a half-an-hour grappling class afterwards. Or maybe, watch the UFC and then afterwards, get some pizza or go out to a local restaurant like an Applebee's or a Ground Round and so on. I think the next thing that we need to look at is that the tiers of the programs where we want to work on different multiple program tiers. Like, for instance, in my school we have different levels that the students can see as progressions. When a student joins my school, they're in a basic program. We then want to look to upgrade them to what we call our Black Belt Club. Now, I've said this before in our conference calls, that the Black Belt Club is probably the wrong name to call it, unless it's a club that you have them join and they'll be in as they were working towards their Black Belt only. I started a Black Belt Club with that name, and it's just basically a glorified club where they get special training, but it's not really tied into the Black Belt. So in other words, if the second tier level, you could call it anything you want, like the Accelerated Program or the, you know, Viper Team or whatever, who knows. But you want to have it as a step-up level from the basic program. The next one might be your master's team or your master's club, and that would be your level 3 program. And then you may have instructor training and eventually career martial art training so that you can maybe turn some of your students into part-time teachers so that you build a bench strength within your school and you have a bench strength for expansion within your organization so that you could open multiple locations or if an instructor gets sick or someone quits, or someone doesn't want to work in the martial art business anymore, you would actually be able to just move them up and get them into the program and get them into those 5 tiers. So again, we're talking about tiered programs, okay? The next thing I want to work on is, another one is, let me just see here, is marketing systems. You want to work on your marketing systems as if they were systems to run your business, as if they were spokes in a wheel, so to speak. For instance, we've touched on this on a regular basis, but there are hundreds of ways to market. I recommend you listening to the archived marketing tips that I've done in the past, as well as Melody Schumann's and all the other people that they've interviewed that are on the Member Solutions website. But I think that there are many different ways to market, but we have to have a synergy of multiple ways, not just one, but 5 or 10. And those 10 things should be done on a regular, daily, weekly basis, so that you're going to build up your membership list and it's going to grow. I think that if you go to my website, takingittothenextlevel.com, you'll find like marketing tips for the month, marketing ideas and concepts. And if you're a premium member in my marketing, in my Taking It to the Next Level site, which you guys could join, you would actually get a list of marketing tips for the month, income generators, ideas on what to do, actual flyers that are working, seasonal ads, and so on. Another one is referral systems. You need to have systems on how you're going to gain your referral. Now, of course, referrals are a part of marketing, but again, this is on my site, but I'm still shocked at how many people tend to always want to put their spin on my existing referral program. For instance, I explain my referral system, people take it and they change it around, and then they call me and they tell me that they're not getting the results that I'm getting. Well, the thing is, why change something? If you have a specific recipe for a specific meal and you change all the ingredients because you don't have them or you add other things and then you're not happy with the taste and the results, it's because you really didn't do it exactly like the recipe was, the one that was working, the one that you're getting results out of. Number 6 is student upgrade systems. How do we upgrade our students? We may have multiple tiers in our programs, but do we have a system to upgrade those people? Do we have a method to our madness? Do we know when we do it, what time we do it, how we do it, and so on? So there's got to be a upgrading system. Number 7, we need to put programs in effect to view our finances regularly, and we stick to it. We want to have a cash-out retirement plan. We want to know what's going to happen every single week that's going to be building our future. Even if we're putting away $25 a week out of our retirement plan, in 20 years, that's going to be a large amount of money. Number 8, we want to look at students as the most important thing. Sometimes we get caught up in the machine, and we forget that students are the reasons why we do this. We tend to think that the black belt mentality or a hierarchy mentality where we say things like, it's my way or the highway, or if they don't like it, they could leave. And while I don't think this is entirely wrong, it has to be the way we want it to be because it is our school, and we can't let the student base or the parents influence our decisions, but we surely should keep an open mind and listen. We need to listen to what people have to say because sometimes a student or a parent may have a very real complaint or an idea. And this leads me to number 9. We want to learn to listen. Truly, truly listen. We're not just here to look at people in the face and nod our heads, but we really want to hear what they have to say. For instance, some of you right now are talking, taking the time to sit with me and listen to this conference call, but I think probably about 50 to 75% of the people 55 to 75% of what I'm saying may get lost in translation, or it may get lost in the thought. So that's why I suggest going back into the archives and listening to conference calls. I would guess that some of you didn't even take notes while I was speaking. And I would guess that some of you are multitasking and you're listening to your friends or your family or your students or something else, or you're typing on the computer, or you're doing something that's not pertaining to what I'm talking about. You see, if you don't take the time to learn how to listen, the basic principles of what we teach to our students about focus in class, and you don't incorporate that into your business, then what's the sense? For 1 hour of this conference call, and if I've done this conference call for 1 hour and you've only listened to half of what I said, you in essence have wasted a half an hour of your time. And that's a shame to me. So I think that we should become better listeners. We should start to sit and actually learn to listen. Study the art of listening. And 10, last but not least, do what you do 100%. I mean, plan ahead, set goals, be proactive and preemptive in dealing with things. Cut the problems before they become too bad. Get rid of the issues before they become issues. See into the future almost as if you had a crystal ball, and overcome the obstacles before they become obstacles. Also realize that preparation of all you do is what's going to make you successful. So remember that 40 hours a week of your time is to get by, and anything above 40 hours is to succeed. So if you're out there and you're working hard, but you're not working smart, then you're really not going to really get anywhere. You're going to be caught in that hamster wheel, that, you know, in the hamster cage where you're constantly treading the same water over and over and over again. If you're finding that you're doing the same thing over and over again and you're expecting different results, you're going to kill yourself. That's the definition of insanity, is when you do the same thing over and over again and expect to get different results. We need to focus and concentrate on a daily basis and on what we're doing, and the big goals, things that are important to the growth of our business. We need to plan ahead. We want to set those weekly goals and yearly goals and monthly goals and quarterly goals and so on. And we want to focus on the big things, like what is going to bring in more money into the dojo. Like, for instance, when I was just talking to the other gentleman about accounting, I do believe that we should learn all we can so that we never can ever get ripped off by anyone. We should be knowledgeable in our finances, knowledgeable in our investments, but never take the time to become that person, because once you do, you take away from your real strong points. If your strong points are teaching exciting classes, then teach those exciting classes and hire someone to be a program manager. If your strong points are teaching exciting classes and selling upgrades or enrolling students in your school, then do what you do best. Don't do what you do just for the sake of doing it. Concentrate on the big tasks, the big goals, the focus points that are going to make you successful, so that in 6 months and a year, you're going to see some serious growth in your school. Anyway, this is pretty much what I have so far, and I want to answer a few more questions because I've really been kind of going nonstop. So, Joanne, let's open it up again for questions, and I'd love to hear some people's comments, criticisms, compliments, whatever you guys have to say. I'd like to talk to you about that. Let's do that right now. So anybody out there? Joanne?
Yeah, they're all unmuted.
Unmuted. Okay, great. So does anybody have anything to say, any more ideas, any more questions? It's been great so far, and I know I kind of go over things in detail, so I know that you may not have a question on what I had just said, but anything else? Any guys that want to chime in?
Yeah, Ellie, this is Jason again in Boston.
Hey, Jason.
I do follow a lot of these kinds of recommendations, and I spend a lot of time doing some personal strategic planning and goal setting.
Great.
And one of the things I have trouble doing is actually going back and making sure that and personal accountability.
Wow.
Now I've made strides toward my goals, but really trying to make sure that I hit the targets that I set for myself. Do you have any suggestions on, you know, what
I absolutely do. And, you know, personal accountability is amazing. Like, we have a saying in my school, inspect what you expect. And I can't say that I always do that. You know, I'm an idea person. I love to walk by someone in the hall and just say, hey, let's do this, this, and this. And I would hope that I have enough motivated people that the next day that'll be on my desk. I'd love to be able to say, hey, listen, I got a great idea, and here it is, and I'd love to be able to someone to say, hey, listen, I'm going to run with that idea. Do you mind if I do that? And then all of a sudden it's done. But that doesn't seem to happen that often. So we have to actually, I follow the Franklin Covey planner system. And there's a way of forwarding your events that you want to do. Like, for instance, if my goal today was to do this conference call, or let's say on Thursday of last week my goal was to prepare for this conference call, and Thursday I didn't do it, but it was on my list of things to do on Thursday, that it would immediately be forward Thursday night to my Friday morning task, and it would become my A1 priority. It would be my number one priority because I know that it needed to be done. And if for some strange reason we had a fire in the building or a flood and I couldn't get to it, it would be clean up the flood because that's the immediate emergency, but Saturday it would be my top one priority. So I forward things from day to day, but I never ignore them because if we don't forward them, they end up getting lost. And then when it's too late, we go back and we go, darn, I wanted to do that. And if I did do that, it would have been there would have been a considerable difference in my life right at this very moment as we speak. So I totally suggest that, you know, you on a regular basis you look at your tasks and your goals, and then you make sure you hold yourself accountable by making that part of your regular routine.
Sure, I think it probably does come down to discipline. I certainly I think I do a good job of planning my work.
Right.
And that's the other half of it, which is working the plan and then just really holding on to those things that you set out as goals. So.
Absolutely. You know what? And you know what's interesting? I have a few people that are clients of mine on taking it to the next level. I have about 40 or so members, and I'm hoping that you guys will all become part of that program because I can almost promise you that you'll see incredible results. But there are guys like Ottawa Academy of Martial Arts in Canada, and there are guys like in Long Island and also in Maryland that have developed the systems that I teach on my Next Level site and have emailed me results that are just unimaginable, sometimes even better than my staff does. So, and I think it's because they hear me say things all the time, so it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But some of the people who ask for my consulting advice, they take it to heart. Do it. And I find, too, that people that run with the ideas and they put 100% effort into a new idea and they work it and they get it up and running to 100% are the ones that benefit. I think that a lot of people are talkers out there, and I hate to say this, but in the martial art business, there are people that just don't follow up. They don't follow through. They could sit in their school and just wait for the door to open, and they wait for the phone to ring. And then they'll say to me, what can I do? How can I do this? How do I market? And I'll go, this is what you do. And then I'll talk to them 2-3 weeks later, and I'll say, did you do it? And they go, well, no, I'm researching it. It doesn't take 3 weeks to research anything. I gave you the idea. I gave you the concept. Let's do it. And they don't. So the biggest problem is that follow-up and follow-through and inspect what you expect. And you know, like you said, it's all about discipline. And we're disciplined as martial arts, but are we really disciplined in life? That's the most important thing. You know, we got to be black belts somehow. I don't think it was through osmosis. It was through regular training and dedication. But we don't tend to put that same mentality and dedication into our businesses and the education of the black belt business. So that was a long-winded explanation, and I kind of ran on a tangent. But anyone else out there have any other questions?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Ali, this is Mike Brooks. How you doing?
Mike.
Hey, I actually don't have a question. I wanted to I was trying to get through before, but I couldn't get through when the gentleman was talking about the accounting issue. I went through the same thing as him, so I just wanted to throw out there if he'd like to contact me, I'd be happy to help him because almost exactly the same problem.
Okay. Great. So if you can, if you have any things, you could maybe hook up through Joanne and get Mike Brooks' email address, and you guys could work with each other. Because that's what this is a great thing. That's why I encourage questions, because, you know, we're a network. We're involved in Member Solutions, and we're kind of like a family, and we want to be able to network with each other. You know, I would love to hear if a guy is doing a little ninja program and he's getting incredible results. I'd love to share that through my Next Level site and also through my weekly consultations and emails, you know, to be able to help each other. Matter of fact, I'm starting a little, it's kind of silly, it almost could be considered like Dear Abby, but I'm going to call it Dear Allie or a question for Allie. But, you know, people have sent me some questions that have become unbelievably great lessons, and I think that I think it would be good if you guys send me questions on email, and then you know, I'll make it generalized so that people don't know who you are and what your question was. But it could be a parent issue, it could be a complaint from a disgruntled student, it could be an employee issue, and then I could, if I have any advice or information on it, I could always share it with the entire group, and maybe it will, you know, help others. So definitely share that information, Joanne, with Mike's address for this other gentleman. Any other people? Because we have about 6 minutes left. Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is the other gentleman. Is it possible to get his email address now?
Mike, can you give him your email address?
Yeah, it's M as in Michael, Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, at zkick.com.
Zkick.
Yep.
Okay, I'll email you from App Karate at AOL.
You got it.
Thank you.
Fantastic. There you go. That's a great thing. I like that. I think that was one of our greatest contributions today. So, you know, we can work with each other. Anybody else have any other questions?
I just have a comment.
Sure.
I actually came on kind of late, maybe 7 minutes after you started. The tips, the 10 tips that you gave are great, and those are the ways to be proactive. I just needed to hear you say avoid the rut and stay determined, so that was very helpful for me.
I'm glad. And you know what? That is so true. You know, like, we do get in a rut, you know. And let me tell you, I've been doing this for my whole life. I've studied since I'm 3 years old, so it's going to be, I don't know, 38 years of training in the martial arts. But I've run a school full-time for the last 15 years, and my staff and I are so shocked. We've had multiple schools for over 6 or 7 years, and, you know, we do a staff meeting, and we don't even have to say, Mr. Smith said, and then go through the description. We'll go, Mrs. Smith, scenario A. And then we all go, okay, how'd you handle it? And they'll say it, and we'll go, what were the results, positive or negative? I mean, it's not like it's anything different. We've seen it all. And the typical mentality is kind of like a kind of fast food mentality. I'm going to pay you $110 for martial art lessons. You're going to give me $110 worth of martial art lessons, and our business transaction is complete. But just like I taught in one of my locations last night, I said, you know what? Martial arts is not about pure financial transaction. I believe that the martial art lessons that people get are invaluable. In other words, that if I teach a lesson, I think that lesson could be taken to change a person's life. And if it does save a person's life or change a person's life, what is it worth? It's worth billions of dollars. So when people think that they pay $100 a month or $110 a month or $300 a month, it's still underpriced, in my opinion. So I think that we need to get that message to the general population of our students and the parents, where they understand that we probably will have one of the most powerful tools, and we're putting it in their lap for success in life. And I always tell my students that promotions from belt to belt is not a right, it's a privilege. So when people go, when am I going to get my belt? I tell them, when you're ready, I'll give it to you. But a lot of times people think that they deserve it because Johnny got it, or they deserve it because they paid their tuition, or they deserve it because they put the time in. I don't agree with that philosophy. I think that martial arts is different. It's still in that Eastern way of thought, and it's got to be held to that standard. You know, we want to have a commercial school. We want to teach people, but we need to educate them about why we're so important and why we're doing such a great job and why we've gotten such great results. And this is something that we need to strive for in that communication module, by explaining to people, writing articles, and dealing with people. Again, on my Taking It to the Next Level site, we have positive stories. I have articles that I've written on the uniform and its importance, and so on and so forth. So these are the things that we need to do on a regular basis to elevate the martial arts and elevate our schools above soccer, football, baseball, swimming, and so on. Because we're much more than that. And I do believe it, because I've done all the sports. So I know that the martial arts is much more than just a typical hobby or sport. Anyway, last question, because we're going to wrap it up. So anybody out there, get it in right now if you can. Anybody out there? Okay. I want to thank everybody today for being on the conference call. I hope the information I gave was good for you, and I hope that you're going to take some of it and utilize it. I'd love to hear from you on a regular basis. My email address is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, @AOL.com. Again, that's Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, N-I-N-J-A, @AOL.com. For those of you who are not on my Taking It to the Next Level site and you want to experience the first month for free, just email me. I'd be honored to go over it with you and show you it, and I think that you're going to love it, because it's exactly, I think, in my opinion, and I've heard this from people, you know, that are much more involved in the martial arts than I am, that this is probably the wave of the future when it comes to consulting, and I think that it's probably the best consulting website out there. So get involved. I mean, the first month goes into the details on the schedule and program packages and multi-level tiers on your programs and upgrades and promotion tracking and statistic tracking and cards, and it has PDF downloads and ads and the seasonal ad for the holidays and so on. So if you're interested, just email me and say, Ali, I have a question for you, or I would like to get your site and get the free month. And if not, you know, just email me with any questions you may have. That's what you guys as a as a part of Member Solutions and their lead consultant, I'm here for you on a regular basis. And if you're listening to this call a month or two from now, it doesn't matter. You can still email me, and I'd be more than happy to give you the free month. And please, let's work together. I look forward to talking to you guys on my one-on-one calls. If you're interested in talking to me more on a personal basis, in detail on a specific issue or multiple issues, just let Joanne know and get in contact with her, and she'll set up conference calls with me. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Joanne, thanks very much.
Thanks, Allie.
Everybody have a great holiday, okay? Have a good good holiday, good Christmas, good New Year, and let's raise some money or get some food and donate it to the charitable organizations that are out there. Thanks so much. Have a great, great holiday.
Thanks, Allie. Bye-bye.